So, guys, there was a report today by Paul Schwartz that the Giants have signed pass rusher Ifeide Odenigbo, I can't say his name right, to a one-year, $2.5 million deal. This man is a 6'3", 258-pound defensive end who has 2.5 career sacks, which is really impressive. All in the past two seasons, he had 7 sacks for the Vikings in 2019 as a situational pass rusher. His first career sack in week 5, that season came against Daniel Jones and the Giants at MetLife Stadium. I remember that game. The Giants lost 27-10. Given a starting job in 2020, he had just 3.5 sacks and 15 starts. Though he did leave, he did have a career-high 15 quarterback hits. He was born in Bionia, New Jersey, went to high school in Ohio, and played college ball at Northwestern. The Vikings decided not to tender Odenigbo, a restricted free agent. He was a 2017 seventh-round draft pick by Minnesota. He had brief stays with the Cleveland Browns and the Arizona Cardinals before returning to the Minnesota Vikings. So it looks like this signing fits with what the Giants are likely to continue to pursue in free agency, which is young and healthy players with upside who they believe can fit well in their scheme. So, yeah, good. I like this guy. Man got 10.5 sacks. So,
lower your voices, please, and don't forget to turn off that light.
So, what a good signing by the Giants. This man got 10.5 sacks.
He's trash.
Guys, So, guys, I'm gonna give you guys the winners and losers in the free agency market. So here we go. So listen, the most interesting part of the Chicago Bears trade proposal for Russell Wilson is that the Seahawks thought about it. You know, Ian Rappaport reported today that a clandestine meeting between Bears general manager Ryan Pace and Seahawks general manager John Schneider took place in Fargo, North Dakota, when the two were in town for prospect Trey Lance's pro day. The Seahawks slept on the offer. According to Rap Sheet, it was Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll who decided that at 69 years old, he's not looking to rebuild his team. You know, the timeline here is instructive. If trading Wilson was totally off the table, Schneider would not have needed to meet with Pace or think about it for a night. It's also a reminder that Carroll has as much power as any head coach in football, including Bill Belichick and John Gruden. You know, the Bears quickly pivoted to signing Andy Dalton, inspiring an expression of righteous public anger about the team's quarterback position that has been building for roughly 3 decades. You know, the Bears never had a really good quarterback ever since Jim McMahon, and that was back in 86. And him too. I think the only good quarterback, and he's not really that good, but I think the only quarterback the Bears had that was really good was Jay Cutler. And I understand I've talked so much crap about Jay Cutler, but Jay Cutler, he actually played some good ball. But look at Carroll and Schneider should be wary of potentially embarking on a similar streak in the wilderness if they continue to entertain moving Wilson this offseason or next. Unless the Seahawks receive a franchise tag in return, trading Wilson away makes no sense, and if it comes down to choosing between Carroll or Wilson, it shouldn't be a tough choice for ownership. So, anyways, Let's go up. Guys, here's all the winners I have today. The Arizona Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray, I think he won today. Now, and here's why. Ian Rappaport reported yesterday that the Raiders were going to release center Rodney Hudson. That apparently inspired the Cardinals to call the Raiders and inquire about how much it would cost to secure Hudson before he hit the open market. It's basically safe to say the Cardinals weren't the only team to call, because it wound up costing Arizona a third round pick to secure one of the best centers in the league. Hudson is under contract for 2 more years and may want a raise, but the Cardinals have to be thrilled. They were only bidding against other teams in trade terms rather than competing financially on the open market. The Cardinals have been coaching up a talent-poor offensive line since Cliff Kingsbury arrived back in 2019, and Hudson provides a big upgrade in talent. The team also brought back right tackle Kelvin Beachum, which should make Kyle Murray smile. I think another winner in free agency was Jimmy Garoppolo, who is the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, and here's why. Before his season was derailed by a high ankle sprain, Jimmy G had the good fortune to start 6 games with Trent Williams at left tackle. That number will presumably rise in 2021. It's hard to overstate how much injuries either to Garoppolo or to his teammates have ravaged Garoppolo's time in San Francisco. I think when the 49ers re-sign Trent Williams and picking up center Alex Mack, I think that gives Garoppolo a chance to actually perform like it's 2017. In his 2017 form when he went 5-0 after being traded from the Patriots, or 2019 when he helped the Niners to the Super Bowl, rather than the other cursed years of the Kyle Shanahan era in San Francisco. Speaking of which, Trent Williams bet on himself. Consider what happened with Williams, the photo negative of Le'Veon Bell's year out of the league. Williams' absence from football in 2019 had a lot to do with his unhappiness with the Washington organization. In addition to money, he eventually forced his way out, then kindly asked the 49ers not to franchise tag him when they traded up for him. After Williams put up another season as one of the best tackles of the last decade, I guessed he'd become the highest paid tackle in this league, and that's exactly what happened today when he agreed to a 6-year, $138.5 million deal to stay with the 49ers in a year where free agency prices appeared to be slightly down. Williams was paid his full value. He could somehow wind up in Canton someday if he can continue to stay healthy, And I think another winner for today in free agency was Derek Carr, who was the quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders, and here's why. Since I put Carr in my moving down section, or you could say the losers in free agency, on yesterday, it's only fair to point out that the Raiders have since made one of my favorite value pickups of the week in John Brown. While Brown is an injury risk, he's just as good of a player as Nelson Aguilar. Brown will cost significantly less. The Raiders are also re-signing Richie Incognito and Denzel Good, so at least their diminished offensive line will have at least some familiar faces back. Another winner I have is Patrick Peterson, getting redemption. Here's why. Peterson has a Hall of Fame resume. The final 2 seasons of a legendary run in Arizona, however, were marred by injury, suspension, and surprising ineffectiveness. I think Peterson's 1-year, $10 million deal in Minnesota is an incredible chance at a cornerback. Mike Zimmer, who is the Vikings head coach, especially getting the best out of veteran corners these days, and the high price tag indicates a real show of faith. One thing won't change is that Peterson will remain in the spotlight, tracking the opposition's best. Now, guys, I'm going to talk about the losers for today. I think one loser is Larry Fitzgerald's chances at returning to Arizona. Here's why. AJ Green's arrival in Arizona was a surprise to me. You know, I did not expect him to get a $6 million base salary after his sluggish final season with the Bengals. While it does remain to be seen what this means for Larry Fitzgerald's future, PF Pro Football Talks Mike Florio believes Fitzgerald will have to retire or play elsewhere. Fitzgerald only averaged 7.6 yards per reception last season, producing only 409 yards and 745 snaps. Now, another loser I have for today was the edge rusher market, and here's why. 9 of my top 10 edge rushers were accounted for by yesterday morning, with Jadeveon Clowney likely to wait until he's healthier to sign a new deal. Based on his free agency experience last year in the cooling market, he shouldn't expect a big contract. You know, the Panthers 1 year $6 million. The Panthers 1 year $8 million contract with $2 million more in incentives for Hassan Reddick for today signaled the start of phase two of free agency at the position. Other available players like Justin Houston and Melvin Ingram can help a team, but probably won't break the bank. I believe that the top of the market, including Carl Lawson and Trey Hendrickson, might have come at a slight discount compared to other years when more cap space was available. The bigger change of finances might hit the middle class of veterans, with Reddick seeing less money. And I think another loser in free agency, I think it was the Kansas City Chiefs' big offensive line hopes, you know. Here's why. NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reports that the Chiefs were runners-up in the Trent Williams sweepstakes. Williams would have been an incredible pickup after the Chiefs cut their two starting tackles last week, and they freed up the cap room to make a run at the number one overall free agent. Kansas Chiefs fans were also clamoring for the return of former Chief Rodney Hudson, who wound up being traded from the Raiders to the Cardinals on Wednesday. Today, pairing either Hudson or Williams with guard Joe Tooney, who agreed to a deal with the Chiefs on Monday, would have made Patrick Mahomes feel a whole lot better about this offensive line. And while I like the risk reward of signing former Bears guard Kyle Long obviously has to prove he can stay healthy after a year out of the league. The Chiefs were clearly hoping to do bigger business and still have a major problem at tackle to solve. And another loser I have in free agency was the wide receiver market, you know, and here's why. I hesitate to write this because it could change any minute, but 3 of my top 4 available free agents are wide receivers in Kenny Galladay, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Will Fuller. Once franchise tags were accounted for, those were three of my top 4 available wideouts overall. You know, it's safe to say then that they aren't getting the offers they expected. Galladay is reportedly going to visit my New York Giants and might take a short-term deal. I never expected Nelson Aguilar and Corey Davis to come off the board well before the other 3 mentioned above. The depth of the position in free agency and in the draft isn't helping the supply and demand ratio. Regardless of how their deals wind up, all 3 players are quality starters, in my opinion, in the past first league. Other contributors like T.Y. Hilton, Sammy Watkins, Antonio Brown, and Brashad Perriman are also waiting for the logjam to free up. And the last loser I have in free agency is Gardner Minshew Jaguars jerseys, and here's why. Jacksonville has received a few calls from teams inquiring about Minshew. According to Ian Rappaport, it's a matter of time before Minshew mania is looked back upon as a poor man's version of insanity. So yeah, guys, those are my winners and losers for today in NFL free agency. So yeah. So yeah, I hope you guys like this today. Today was an amazing day, especially for us Giants fans for hearing all this. Let's see what happens with Kenny Galladay. I'm hoping that hopefully we can get him to a long-term deal.
Oh, Giants just signed him.
Obviously, the only two teams that are into Kenny Galladay is him and the Dolphins, from what I'm hearing. So let's see what happens. But there's a lot of reports saying that Kenny Galladay is expected to he is expected to meet with the Giants. Don't know when, but he will be visiting them. So I'm hoping that we can get him, cuz that would be a huge steal for us. So yeah. Guys, it looks like well, we don't know. Let's see what happens. And yeah. I'll keep you guys updated on free agency, because it's still continuing. So, yep.